Great introduction to Back to the Bible broadcast. So thankful that you are listening and that I can again give you today some thoughts that will be helpful to you. And we'll have a guest speaker, by the way, and we'll be introducing him. Well, I might as well introduce him now. After a couple of numbers of music, you will be hearing from Wendell Grout, pastor in Calgary, Alberta, and he'll bring another one in his series on the Book of Ruth. We're so appreciative of having him with us for these particular messages. Now, I do want to mention the Faith Partner Bulletin has been mailed, by the way, to you, and with it you will be receiving, of course, the calendar, but I want to say this word about the calendar itself. The 1979 calendar, Scripture Text Calendar, is ready for mailing. And as I said before, I mentioned again, something I enjoy about the very Scripture verses there are that they are on themes. For instance, Sunday sets the theme, and the rest of the week you will have the verses on that particular theme. For instance, we preach unto you them which are called the power of God. Next day it says that every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, and so on and so on. Basic on that particular theme. So don't forget to write for your Scripture Text Calendar. It is free and it is postage paid. And by the way, this word to the faith partners, you will automatically, of course, receive your Scripture Text Calendar together with your faith partner bulletin, and you need not write. But I'll give you the address in just a moment. I did want to mention also that we do have the Christmas card. This Christmas card is a beautiful card, and something you can send, I believe, without another card, or you can place it in with your regular Christmas card. But on the back page, it has a place where you can put the call letters and the time and the dial where you can find the Back to the Bible broadcast. This is a way of inviting your friends to listen. So why not ask for as many of the Christmas cards that you can prayerfully use, but write for them now so we'll get them to you in plenty of time. Now here is our mailing address. Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Thank you.
Yesterday in our study in the book of Ruth, we traced the steps of Ruth the Moabitess into the fields of Boaz. And we discovered, as she met Boaz, the rich landowner, that he, Boaz, was very gracious to her. In a very wonderful way, this man Boaz typifies to us the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the man full of grace. We want to, today, discover a number of the ways in which the grace of Boaz was received and enjoyed by Ruth. First of all, we observe that the grace of Boaz could be seen in the gleanings of Ruth. When she returned home from the barley field that night, Naomi, her mother-in-law, could see from what she brought home that someone had been very gracious to Ruth. Let me read from the second chapter of the book of Ruth, beginning at verse 17. So she, Ruth, gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. When Ruth returned home that night with her ephah of barley, it became immediately apparent to Naomi that someone had extended to Ruth special favor. She knew that Ruth could not glean that much barley in one afternoon. And we saw in our study yesterday how that Boaz, the rich landowner, had actually instructed his reapers to leave handfuls of barley on purpose for Ruth. Indeed, the grace of Boaz could be seen in the gleanings of Ruth. As we have said, Boaz reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, our man of grace. Is it possible to see the grace of Christ? Indeed, it is. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, Dr. Luke gives the account of how the church at Antioch was established. Several went there on the persecution that arose about Stephen and began to preach the gospel. People responded to the gospel, trusted Christ as their Savior, and tidings of this came to the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas down to observe what had occurred and to bring a report back. The Bible says, when Barnabas came to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. He could see the grace of God in the changed lives of people. The grace of God is not some ethereal, impractical, unreal quality. The grace of God can be seen, and we see that illustrated here beautifully in the book of Ruth. Another thing we observe about the grace of Boaz here is that it went beyond the law. The law required that all landowners leave the gleanings of their fields for the beggars and the strangers and the widows, but there was nothing in the law of Moses that indicated that the landowner had to go beyond that and give special favor and give more grain to the beggars. So we see the grace of Boaz went beyond the law. This speaks to us, too, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of grace. Law came by Moses, said John the Baptist, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. A third thing about the grace of Boaz that's very instructive is that that gracious act of Boaz not only blessed Ruth, it gave her barley, to be sure, but it blessed her mother-in-law as well. The grace of Boaz blessed Ruth, but it blessed more than Ruth. It blessed the old woman with whom Ruth was living. The grace of God is never given to us as an end in itself. That's illustrated right here in the book of Ruth. Do you remember that statement that Paul made in Ephesians chapter 3, where he says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul says, the grace of God has come to me. I've received the gift of the grace of God. I've been made a minister by the grace of God. But all of this is given unto me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, I've been the recipient of grace, but the purpose of this ultimately is that I should be a sharer of that grace with others. No one ever receives the grace of God as an end in itself. And when Ruth brought her gleanings home that night, not only did she share in the gracious provision of Boaz, but her mother-in-law shared as well. It brought blessing to her life as well as to the life of Ruth. A fourth thing about Boaz's grace that strikes us here is the fact that it brought him praise. When Ruth came home with the gleanings that night, her mother-in-law didn't praise her. She said rather, "Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." Naomi praises the one who's been gracious to Ruth. It really wasn't to Ruth's credit that she had so much barley. It was to the credit of the man who had been gracious to her. So consequently, all the praise, all the honor goes back to Boaz. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says this, "To the praise of the glory of his grace." Oh, indeed, friend, when we know the grace of God, and when we experience the grace of God, and when we enjoy the grace of God, it's not to our credit, but it's to the glory, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. He receives the glory because it has indeed been his unmerited favor toward us that has been our blessing. A fifth thing about this grace of Boaz that's most instructive is that it encouraged further contact. When Ruth returned home and told Naomi what Boaz had done to her and how gracious and kind he'd been to her, then Naomi encourages her to stay in Boaz's fields. Oh, indeed, stay near that man who's been so gracious to you. But there's something about the end of this chapter that's somewhat disturbing. The last verse of Ruth chapter 2 reads this way, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." She dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now we know from that statement that Ruth's basic problem and her basic need has not been met. She's met the man of grace. She's enjoyed his blessing. She's come home with the barley that he freely gave her. She has come to understand something of his great character, but she's still living with her mother-in-law. There's no relationship established with Boaz, and Ruth is still a gleaner. She's still a beggar. Naomi said something very profound in the first chapter of the book of Ruth when speaking to her daughters-in-law. She said this, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." May you find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Well, there's no rest for Ruth in chapter 1, and there's no rest for Ruth in chapter 2. Why? Because she's in the wrong house. She's still living with her mother-in-law. There's no rest in the house of her mother-in-law. You see, the mother-in-law is a part of the burden, a part of the problem. Ruth must go out and glean in order to feed herself and also this mother-in-law. There's no rest there. She's not in the house of her husband. She's in the house of her mother-in-law. Now, Naomi understood this. As long as Ruth is alone, as long as she is without a husband, as long as she is living with Naomi, there really is no rest for her. She'll always be a beggar. She'll never have the resources of a husband that can bring rest to her heart and to her life. So, in the opening verse of chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now Naomi understands what Ruth really needs. She needs a husband. She needs a house into which she can enter and in which she can find rest. She needs someone to provide for her. She needs a relationship with a man that will bring her the rest that she requires. And so in this third chapter of Ruth, Naomi directs Ruth to the threshing floor of Boaz. Naomi knew that Boaz would be there threshing the grain after the day's work, and so she instructs Ruth to go. She's to go down to the threshing floor of Boaz and give herself to Boaz and indicate to Boaz that she, Ruth, will become his wife if he will have her. Naomi understood the kinsman redeemer law that was given in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 25:5, we read this, "If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her." Now Boaz was a near kinsman, and he had the privilege and the prerogative of becoming a husband to Ruth, of becoming her redeemer husband. And Naomi knew this, and very wisely she directs Ruth to Boaz, just as we ought to instruct people to go to the man of grace, Christ Jesus, to find in him redemption, and from that redemption, his wonderful resources, and in those resources, wonderful spiritual rest. We'll see more about this tomorrow.
Come as a wisdom to children. To the blind, come, Lord, as strength to my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Come, Holy Spirit, I need Thank you. thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Come like a spring in the desert. Come to the withered of soul.
The fifth in the series of six messages on the Book of Ruth by Pastor Wendell Grout of Calgary, Alberta. You'll hear one more on tomorrow's broadcast. I trust God has been speaking to your heart and that you realize that He's offering all grace, whether you are a child of God or not. If you're not a child of God, grace for salvation. If you are a child of God, grace for living. Can we help you in any way in a spiritual manner? If so, write to us at the Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. I'm Theodore, saying goodbye. But somebody made this statement. Trust God to overcome your difficulties. He has had thousands of years of experience.